Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way.
Good morning. You have tuned into Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for He Whom We Cannot Identify. And my guest is local artist Ray Bunnell. And Mr. Bunnell is going to be having an art show out at the North Pole Grange, where he has Twenty-five of his drawings of historic churches in Alaska.
Yeah.
And it's in light of recent events. This is a timely subject for a lot of reasons, but just it is a great show. I was just out there and saw it last Friday, and just kind of gives us pause to reflect a little bit. But anyway, Mr. Bunnell, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your work, and I suppose the show too.
Okay, I guess I'll start with a little background on how I became an artist, where I'm from. I grew up in Gold Rush, California, in a little mountain town, Northern Mines area, and I lived a couple of miles outside of town on a rural road. And the place where I lived was sort of a microcosm of Alaska, because my grandfather had about 15 acres there. And behind his property was a large tract of BLM land. And so I could wander there to my heart's content. And this was Nevada City. This was the heart of the Northern Mines area. And there were abandoned mines all over the place. On my grandfather's property, there were a couple of what we called coyote holes, which were the prospect shafts that the miners would dig down to see if they could find anything. And then, not on his property, but on the BLM land, within a couple of miles where I lived, there were three abandoned mines. Within 10 miles of where I lived, there were probably 30 abandoned mines. Plus old Indian, there was an old Indian village about a mile away from where I lived. And so I would spend countless hours just searching for arrowheads one of my favorite activities was, like I say, we had all these old abandoned hard rock mines. And so they had big tailings piles. And there were stories about how dishonest miners would high grade some ore, stuff it into a pipe, beat the ends closed, and then throw it out in the tailings pile and cover it up. And some of them never made it back to those tailings piles. So I would go through those old tailings piles looking for high graders' booty. Never found any, but it was fun doing it. And they used to gravel the road in front of our house with gravel from the tailings pile, so you could actually go out, and if you were diligent, you could find little rocks with specks of gold in them. So I grew up loving Gold Rush history and wandering around and looking at all the ruins, and so that's what gave me my interest in Gold Rush and mining and history. And then my family moved up to Alaska in 1970, and I went to Alaska Methodist University in Anchorage, and hoping to be an archaeologist, but I sort of went in the back door to art. My older brother was actually the artist, so I sort of stayed away from art. But I took my first art class, and I was hooked. So I had a double major in anthropology and art. But I was planning on being an archaeologist. That didn't work out because I'm partially colorblind to red and green. And so in my junior year, on my first dig on the Kenai Peninsula, we were digging an old Dena'ina village. One day, the professor called us over to somebody else's pit and said, "This is very important. Do you see this line of red ochre?" And red ochre was a pigment often associated with hearths. He said, "This is very important." And I'm going to myself, "What red ochre?"
Right.
I couldn't see it. It was at that point I realized I wouldn't be a good archaeologist. So I sort of switched over to history and concentrated on my art. And because I'm colorblind,
yes,
I'm color confused. I'm red green. I'm enough colorblind so that I don't do color art. I concentrate black and white. So that's why I do black and white pen and ink drawings. So that's how I got here today.
And they're really incredible drawings.
Yes.
Just I've always admired your work. And let's see, you used to publish stories along with your art in the Newsminer, and
yes, after I left college, I got a job as a technical writer for the federal government, and eventually left that and became a freelancer. And I've been doing the drawings for like 30 odd years, but writing along with that, I've always been interested in writing. It was one of my minors in college. I had like two majors and two minors, so I was in college forever.
Right. A professional student, right?
That's right. I would love to be a professional student, yeah. So I got into writing, and I got offered a column at the Newsminer. They advertised for it, and I said, "I'll try for it." And thinking that maybe I'd have enough material for a year. And then, finally 12 years later, I retired from the column.
Right.
And I started doing it because, with the history in California and then moving up here to Fairbanks, I've seen that history is disappearing. And not only is the history disappearing, the buildings are disappearing, but the people who live that history are disappearing.
Right.
And so I've sort of taken it on as a cause to try and preserve some of that history and educate people about our history. Yeah.
Yep. And you have been traveling, maybe even we could say wandering.
Throughout the state. I've been wandering the roads and back trails all over from Manly all the way to the Canadian border, and then from Eagle. Well, I've been in Southeast several times doing pictures and stuff. So yeah, and all the way down to the end of the Kenai Peninsula. So.
Well, that is great. Well, we are coming up close to quarter past the hour. That means we have to take a short break to listen to some advertisements from our sponsors who make this show possible. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and my guest in the studio is Ray Bunnell. Well, we'll call him a local artist because he lives in Fairbanks, and he's holding an art show out at the North Pole Grange tonight.
Tonight, yes.
Yes. And so we will take a pause here and go to some words from our sponsors, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The 8-Star Event Center is turning one, and you're invited. Join us Tuesday, September 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. for our one-year celebration open house. Enjoy free tours, complimentary cookies and cake, and delicious corn diggity food for purchase. See our rooms set for business meetings, banquets, and events for 10 to 800 guests. Enter to win a free meeting space for a day. Don't miss it, September 16th at the 8-Star Event Center, where your next great event begins.
McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine is officially the number one sports medicine clinic in Fairbanks. The official team doctors for the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the UAF Nanooks, our team of board-certified physicians, are here to treat the entire community. No matter your sport, we will get you back in the game. Concussions, back pain, dislocations, and fractures. We have operative and non-operative physicians standing by. With on-site MRI and surgical services, we can care for all injuries in one location. Open until 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Walk-ins welcome. Visit McKinleyOrtho.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their award-winning tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Find the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief today for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
KFAR weather.
High temperatures reach up to 45 today under overcast skies with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers, 36. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 46. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your host this morning is Mike Prox. I'm filling in for He Whom We Cannot Identify. And with me in the studio is local artist Ray Bunnell, who is going to be having a show of his work out at the North Pole Grange tonight from 5 to 8. And also, I should remind you that if you want to participate in the show, have any questions, comments, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, Mr. Bunnell, we have got a little bit of the background going, but you are holding a show this Friday.
Yes.
And next Friday as well. Do I have my times right?
Yes, this Friday and next Friday from 5 to 8 o'clock.
5 to 8
And next Friday is actually the official artist reception out of the Grange. So,
yeah.
So I'll be popping in tonight, but I'll be there for the entire 5 to 8 next Friday.
Okay. And is that open to everyone? Because there's a special show that you've sold tickets to, what I understand from John.
Yeah. Well, this this show came about because this year is the 50th anniversary for St. Nicholas Catholic Church in North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And when the church actually organized 50 years ago, they had their first mass at the Grange was just the Grange back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was appropriate that they have involved the Grange in this 50th anniversary.
Right.
So this show actually runs for 4 Fridays. Mm-hmm. It was last Friday, and then today and next Friday will be public viewings.
Oh, okay.
Where the public can go out, and then the fourth Friday is an actual private showing party, whatever you want to call it, for the people from St. Nicholas Church.
From St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Now we got that straightened out. So. We have some opportunities here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Grange is out actually on the off, really where we used to notice it, was the old Richardson side.
Yeah, on the far side of North Pole.
North Pole, kind of. But to get there, you have to go to 8th Avenue in North Pole. Ooh, I can drive there. Can I say how to get there? 8th and Snowman. The Grange Hall Road is right across from 8th Avenue. It turns into the Grange Hall Road. But that's how to get there. Go down, find 8th Avenue, and go to 8th and Snowman and keep going, and you will end up at the Grange if you have never been out there.
So it's basically like across the old Rich from the road to the high school, right?
It's across the old Rich from the road to the high school, but that driveway has been taken out. It was a railroad crossing, and I don't know, quite a few years ago, they took out that access. So it's a little bit hard to find. Remember the Chapados sighting? The sign is still there. But
John does put out signs saying,
yes,
art show this way. So.
Yes, right, yes.
So just look for the signs.
Yes. But, you know, North Pole is growing, turning into, well, not quite a metropolis yet, but it has grown quite a bit. And if you haven't been out in North Pole for the last 15, 20 years, you might have a little bit of trouble finding it. But yes, it's oriented right across the road from the high school. But to get there, you go to 8th Avenue and then turn, I guess it would be to the south, anyway, across from 8th Avenue. There's a sign. Grange Hall Road is there. And if you get that far, you'll find it. Go down the road and you'll see the Grange on your left and keep going. And
it's about the only thing down there.
The only thing down there. So, yes, once you find Grange Hall Road, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's this Friday from 5:30?
Five o'clock, yeah.
5 to 8,
eight,
I believe.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Yes. So, and once again, it is really a good show. It, churches, you know, I guess I'm familiar with, I want to say St. Nicholas, but yes, familiar with that, but Immaculate Conception Church,
mm-hmm.
And you have one of the Presbyterian Church.
I have, I started doing churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose partly because I was raised in a church.
Right.
My family and churches go back a long way.
Mm-hmm.
My family can actually trace their ancestry back to Moravian missionaries that came to the Americas in the 1700s. So,
wow.
So a long history there. But churches have also been very important to the development of Alaska.
Yes.
So that's part of the reason I have a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of strange that I've done a lot of churches. I haven't done a lot of saloons, but churches and saloons almost go hand in hand,
right,
in the development of new towns in Alaska.
Right.
In fact, here in Fairbanks, the first religious service, church service, was back in like 1903, at the end of 1903.
Mm-hmm.
Episcopal priest mushed down from Circle,
mm-hmm,
and had the first church service in a saloon here in Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks, yeah.
Yeah, and he covered all the bottles with a white sheet, and all the other saloons closed down for this church service.
Really?
And then opened up right again.
Right.
Right afterwards.
Right afterwards.
So, but churches seem to last and saloons don't.
Right.
So yes. The only saloon I've actually done a drawing of is the Big Eye.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you have to do one of the Malamute Saloon too.
Oh, I have done the Malamute.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I've met Malamute and the Big Eye.
Yeah.
But I've done like five churches here in Fairbanks
locally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the church out at North Pole now, and
mm-hmm.
Delta, Dot Lake. Well, all along the Alaska Highway up to Eagle,
mm-hmm.
And then the Copper Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I've expanded down to, I've done a lot of Orthodox churches,
mm-hmm.
Nanilchik, Kenai, Eklutna. Eklutna, right, has a very nice little Orthodox chapel there.
Right.
And then Juneau and Sitka,
mm-hmm,
and Cordova. And I've done Episcopal churches all over. The most I've done of our Orthodox churches, I think I've done five Orthodox churches.
Mm-hmm.
And then two Catholic churches and, three or four Episcopal churches.
Mm-hmm.
The Episcopals had a really strong ministry to the native villages in interior Alaska.
Right.
And so there are little Episcopal chapels all over the place.
Right.
At least there used to be. A lot of them are gone now.
Yes. Yes. But, yes, and they're all interesting. The... Now I'm trying to think of the name. The Orthodox Church in downtown Juneau. It's just a block or so away
from the capital. That's actually St. Nicholas Church, too. That's
St. Nicholas
Orthodox,
okay,
Church.
Yes. And it's just, I marvel. I think that was built
in about 1896.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the work that went into that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Volunteers. The other one that's just remarkable in Juneau that you have a picture of is St. Teresa's.
St. Teresa's Shrine, yeah.
It's out the road, what, it must be
about
20 miles.
20 miles,
yeah.
Yeah, at on a little bay. Yeah.
It's
that's an interesting structure, too.
Oh, my goodness. That's
because it was originally supposed to be done in logs.
Right.
But they got a stonemason who was working on it, and he convinced them to use beach rocks to build the chapel.
Yes. And it is just a really inspirational spot just to be there, think about when they built that, and just the act of picking up that many rocks really kind of something.
And just so you know, St. Teresa's Shrine is open to the public.
Yes.
So you can go out there go inside the shrine, inside the chapel, and look around. And they have some lovely, a maze.
Yes.
A meditation maze.
Yes.
Maze isn't the right word.
Well, the Stations of the Cross are outside, around the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lovely place.
Oh,
yeah.
it's an incredible spot. If you get to Juneau, you should make a trip to see St. Teresa's. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what the weather is. It is.
No.
I've been out there several times, raining and storming, and it's just a beautiful spot to spend some time on a clear day. It's especially remarkable, but it's
And the chapel is actually built on a small island.
On an island,
off the coast, and they built a causeway over to the island.
Yep.
So it's surrounded by water, so it's just amazing.
It is really an amazing spot. And St. Nicholas downtown, that is, I think, open. I don't know that it's open during the day.
I believe it is.
I think
Yes.
And
they're... I think they're working on restoring the rectory next to it now. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This a lot of the Orthodox churches in Alaska are being restored by a nonprofit organization.
Oh,
well, that's their goal. It's called ROSI,
mm-hmm.
Russian Orthodox Structure. I'm not sure what the acronym stands for,
mm-hmm.
but they've restored St. Nicholas Church, and they've worked on the Kenai Orthodox Church and the chapel at Aklutna too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very involved in church, saving the historic churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is another place. Just it is worth the time, whether you're a believer in the Orthodox faith or not, it is worth the time to go inside and just kind of contemplate somebody really put a lot of work into this and were devoted to that.
And the Orthodox churches are the oldest churches in Alaska.
In Alaska,
surviving
yes.
churches. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And part of that history and, it's just fun to do. And then some of the others. There was a drawing you have of the church. I think it's just south of Glen Allen, a little cabin on the hill, I believe.
Chapel on the Hill. It's not on the hill anymore because they moved it.
They moved it. Yeah.
And that was built. Most of the early church in Alaska were built by organized churches,
mm-hmm.
Episcopals, Catholics, Presbyterians.
Right.
The chapel on the hill was built by an independent evangelist.
Oh.
Who came to the Copper River Valley to evangelize the Otna natives there.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so he built that church back in the 40s. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. I've driven by dozens of times and just never thought to stop in, but you might have inspired me to go. Mm. Just be there and just appreciate the everything that's behind it. There's another little church in Manly, and it's just a nice, plain as can be, but nice place to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear the music in the background. Robert Palmer. Don't know what that means, but what it really means is the satellite is coming overhead. It's going to take over the program here in just a little bit. So we are going to take a break, hear some national news, probably some weather, and some words from our sponsors. So you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and I'm with Ray Bunnell, and we're talking about his artwork and some of the churches around Alaska. So Stay with us. We will be back after the news and the weather and some words from our sponsors.
Is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM 668.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. A suspect who allegedly shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk has now been taken into custody. Utah Governor Spencer Cox giving an update in Orem, Utah, explaining this incident is more than just an attack on Kirk.
It is an attack on all of us. It is an attack on the American experiment. It is an attack on our ideals.
This 22-year-old male suspect reportedly told a family friend that he was connected to the shooting. Investigators say he became more political in recent years and was opposed to Kirk's beliefs. Texas Congressman Pat Fallon on Fox Business talking about how he believes people are going to remember Charlie Kirk.
Charlie was animated and he was passionate, but he was never angry.
There were messages reportedly written on both the firearm used and on the bullets. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
In some Friday fun news, KTUU reports that Fat Bear Week, an event that draws attention from over 100 countries and garnered over 1 million votes last year, will start next week. Fat Bear Week is a time when people can vote on some of the biggest and fattest brown bears at Katmai National Park and Preserve. You can cast your vote for the bear that has gotten the fattest, the bear that looks like it gained the most weight between summer and fall, or you can vote for your favorite bear, says Sarah Bruce, Katmai National Park and Preserve Visual Information Specialist and Media Team Lead. The brackets are still being put together, according to Bruce. Teams are currently out getting photos of the bears who are getting bigger every day. Two bears who are currently being looked at joining the bracket this year are last year's second placer, Chunk, and two-year champion, Grazer. The bears are expected to be larger and fatter this year due to the significant salmon run in Bristol Bay. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game predicted nearly 49.8 million fish would run in the Bay Area this year. You can cast your vote at explore.org Fat Bear Week.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Need to make a big impression? Advanced Printing is here for you. We specialize in custom signs that get you noticed. Vinyl banners, aluminum signs, yard signs, wall wraps, and vinyl decals. From durable outdoor signs to eye-catching wall graphics. We've got the tools and expertise to bring your vision to life. We deliver professional quality prints that stand out and stand up to the elements. Advanced Printing is your local partner for custom solutions. Visit hotprinter.com or call 907-451-1111.
Advanced Printing, where your business means a mint to us.
There's a new voice echoing across Alaska's wild landscapes, Alaska Tracks. Hosted by wildlife biologist and outdoorsman Randy Zarkey, this series dives deep into the stories of hunters, pilots, trappers, guides, and the land that shapes them, based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association. Proudly presented by KFAR Radio and supported by proud sponsors Rod Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, and Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays, 1:30 p.m.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote. Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Ray Bunnell, a local artist who is having a show of his work on churches, historic churches, and otherwise churches in Alaska out at the North Pole Grange Gallery off of the old Richardson, and that's going to be this evening from 5 to 8. And We have to just continue talking. Oh, I got to remind you, if you want to join the show, if you know something about his work or for whatever reason, if you want to call in, the number to call is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. And so, Mr. Bunnell, we have been talking about your work and some of what's around Alaska. It's a little bit hard to describe, but they're pen and ink drawings. And it is a really interesting technique, how much you can bring out the character of a building in a fairly unassuming drawing when you first look at it.
Well, I do really detailed drawings.
You do very detailed drawings.
My art professor, one of my art professors used to say, I need to be more expressive and freer, but I guess when it comes to art, I'm sort of a control freak.
Yes, you're interested in accuracy.
Yeah, I use, when I first started doing my drawings, I use fiber tip pens.
Mm-hmm.
They come in various size nibs, fiber nibs, and I started using larger ones, and I kept going to the finer and finer nibs.
Mm-hmm.
The pen I use now has a nib on it, the point on it, that is about the width of a human hair.
Wow.
So yeah. So I can pack a lot of lines into a small space.
Yes.
When I did the larger, I started off doing larger drawings with the larger nibs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I compare those with what I do now. Two of the common sizes I use are 5x7 drawing. A lot of my drawings are just 5 inches by 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And then another I use is a 7x10 inch drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I compare those to the larger ones I used to do, and I can pack more lines into one of those small drawings than I can pack into one of the larger drawings I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah. But that is an interesting part of your work, the level of detail and how much of the buildings or the object's character that you can bring out with just a black and white pen and ink drawing.
Yeah,
it's incredible work. Yeah.
It's a challenge sometimes,
right?
Because if you're doing color, you can do a lot of things with color, like differentiate between the leaves on a tree and the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're doing black and white, you have to figure out some other way to differentiate between two areas of the drawing that have what we call the value, the shading of it. And two areas side by side may have the same values, but they're totally different objects. So you have to figure out how to show that difference in just monochrome image. It's difficult sometimes.
I can imagine that. And you could hold a gun to my head and I couldn't do that.
Well, so, you learn tricks every once in a while.
I suppose that it comes with practice and experience and try this. Oh, that didn't quite work out right, so try something a little different. And do you work off, do you take a picture of what you're going to be drawing first and then work off the picture, or how do you get that?
I like to do field sketches as much as I can,
okay.
But I also take tons and tons of reference photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm doing a building, I try and get it from all different angles, because if you're working off a photograph of just one angle, you may end up with a drawing that actually lies about what's actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the details especially aren't obvious until you move around,
right,
and see it from a different angle. So I take lots of reference photos,
yeah,
especially... I try to get out in the spring and in the fall when there are no leaves on the trees.
Oh.
So because then you can see a lot of the details in the buildings,
mm-hmm,
or anything that you can't see other times of the year.
Right.
So, and then I'll work from those photographs during the wintertime. But mm-hmm, as much as I can, I like to do field sketching and work from a drawing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting. And if you can't, we have a phone call. Look at that. So, are you ready? We'll go to the phones.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what can we do for you today?
Well, your guest is interesting. I was wondering, with his interest in churches, how he was affected when he heard the news some years ago that the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, had burned, severely burned. and how he feels about, is he satisfied with the rebuilding of the church and so forth? And I'll hang up and just listen to his response on that.
All right. Thank you for calling, Randy. Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, I'm heartbroken when any old structure disappears.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's grandmother moved to Alaska in 35.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote these lengthy letters. And in one of the letters, she talks about riding across the country on a train. And she talks about looking at all the buildings along the side and how every building from the most stately mansion to the little shack by the railroad tracks represent somebody's dreams.
Somebody's dreams.
Somebody's
yes.
story.
Yes.
So I'm heartbroken when any building mm-hmm. disappears. But yeah, things like Notre Dame, it was a tragedy, and I'm very pleased with the reconstruction. But we've actually had things like that happen in Alaska. St. Michael's Orthodox Cathedral in Sitka, which was built in the 1840s, burned down in 1960s because there was a fire in downtown that destroyed most of downtown.
Hmm.
But thanks to, there is an organization, a government organization called the U.S. Historic Building Survey,
mm-hmm.
and they had been there just a few years earlier and done detailed architectural drawings of the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually rebuilt the cathedral, and it looks pretty close to the way it originally looked.
Hmm.
I'm very pleased. It's great if the old structure can be saved. Sometimes mm-hmm. the old structure can't be saved.
Right.
And a detailed architectural reconstruction helps to restore that history somewhat.
Right. Bring it back. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We lived in Minnesota before we moved to Alaska in 69, and I'm just marveled at the churches that were built in 1800s, turn of the century and whatnot, that people had the time and the dedication to mm-hmm. make some just incredible buildings, and they're almost impossible to rebuild unless you have some big organization behind you.
Financing,
yes,
yeah,
the financing is something.
Construction costs are so steep. Yeah,
yes, yes.
It's like St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Seward
mm-hmm.
is an amazing architectural structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's up against the base of the mountain there, and it's just beautiful church.
Yes,
but the amount of detail that they put into
yes.
it's certainly not one of these postmodern warehouse type churches that
right.
you see going up
yes.
now.
Yes, which that's progress, I guess. But but the church isn't just the building, but the building can, I guess, give inspiration to people for something a little bit bigger than ourselves and a good place to just go meditate.
Well, that's how the cathedrals in Europe were. I mean, they told the Bible story in art, in
right.
murals and mm-hmm. statuary and stuff like that
yeah.
to inspire and help the people. So,
yes.
yeah, yeah.
Yes, and that's not a bad idea to just go there and talk to God, if you will. Meditate, whatever your faith is, but just think a little bit outside yourself and why we're here and those buildings. Somebody's gone to the work to help us
mm-hmm.
Do that. And you can still do that. I believe, I want to say St. Andrew's. That's back in Fairfax. I just forgot the name of the church. Oh, Immaculate Conception Church.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And they hold a service every morning. That's part of the Catholic faith. And there's still some people that come down every morning or just stop in there and just kind of reflect. It's a good building for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good meditative space, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We are coming up to a quarter to the hour. That means that we have to take a break. And we'll get a report on the weather, which today is the weather is down low enough where we can keep a close eye on it. And I guess that's good. But we'll get a report on the weather and some words from our sponsors, and we will be right back. So stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. Part-time service also provides education benefits so you can complete the education you need to reach your career goals. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Living in Alaska is a dream come true. With plenty of stuff to do all summer long, the downside? It's loud. Boating, dirt bikes, ATVs, and sports shooting all can take a toll on your hearing. That's where Fairbanks Hearing and Balance comes in. They have a full selection of hearing protection for your lifestyle, from non-custom electronic plugs to custom molded waterproof plugs, all the way up to the full custom molded electronic masterpieces. To find out more, get a test with Dr. Jackson at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center today, or find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Dearest Mother, as leaves turn amber and dusk draws in earlier, Brewster's offers comfort that soothes the soul. Their Brewster dip remains a favorite, treasured for its tender, savory richness. And if one desires something lighter yet nourishing, their chicken fajita wrap or garden burger are splendid choices for those mellow autumn days. I can almost see us, seated by a hearth's glow, enjoying these wholesome dishes as the outside world turns its seasonal page. Pray, join me soon, and we shall welcome fall in good company. Your beloved son, Henry.
The Alaska Dog Mushers Association extends a sincere thanks to Lotto Alaska. This week's nonprofit proceeds will be supporting the Alaska Dog Mushers Association. ADMA appreciates all the support that Lotto Alaska has given and is grateful for this ongoing relationship. These funds will go towards racing, trail maintenance, purse prizes, and more, all in support and appreciation of Alaska's state sport. Any Lotto tickets you purchase this week will help support ADMA's organization and races. Play in person or online at lottoalaska.com. Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 45. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again. Tonight, chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 36. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Ray Bunnell, and we were talking about his artwork and his show that's going to be at the North Pole Grange this evening from 5 to 8.
Yes.
So that's good. And let's see, we got to talk a little bit more about other things. You have at least 3 books.
I have, based on my column, I have 3 books on interior Alaska historic sites,
mm-hmm.
Scattered all over interior Alaska from Manly over to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spring, I'll be coming out with, I have enough columns in the bag that in the spring, I'll be coming out with a South Central Sketches book.
Oh, great.
That will include historic sites in the Copper River Basin, Mat-Su Borough, Anchorage area, Kenai Peninsula, and Prince William Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another book out that is totally unrelated to my art. It's about my, I was telling you about my wife's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was born and raised in Palmer. Her mother and grandparents came up in 1935 with the Matanuska colony.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother wrote these huge, lengthy letters, one a week to her mom back in Wisconsin, because the steamship left Seward headed for Seattle once a week. So she had a letter mm-hmm. on every ship, and her mom in Wisconsin kept all those letters.
Oh, wow.
And we have all those letters.
Yeah.
So last year, my wife and I worked on a book on the history of the Matanuska colony based on her grandmother's letters.
So, and you're going to be publishing that?
It's out. We published it last year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
are you going to have copies of that out at the Grange Gallery?
My books are at the Grange Gallery.
Are at the Grange Gallery. Yeah. Okay. And then you do have some prints available in addition to what's hanging on the wall.
They're not so much of, well, they're available in the sense that I have digital, high-definition digital copies of every work I do.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone wants a print of a drawing they see, I can do it for them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so. And you have a website then? That
I have a website. It's called sketchesofalaska.com.
Sketchesofalaska.com, yes. Yeah. Okay, yes. That's
and it has one of the things that I do with my exhibitions, if you haven't seen them, is in addition to the drawings, I have a small written blurb that explains something about the history of the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the reason I do the drawings is to preserve the history.
Right.
And then preserving the history doesn't do much good if you don't get that information out to other people.
Yep.
So in addition to an entertaining evening looking at art, you also potentially learn something you didn't know before.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what's really fun about your work, your books. I picked them up. You had a show a year or two ago. I forget exactly when. But picked up the book. Oh, this would be nice to have. And then got to paging through and just learned a lot about Alaska. And it was they're just great books. And
thank you.
Just so appreciative of your work. So sketchesofalaska.com if someone wants to
check out
at your work.
And I have most of my drawings on there, plus the columns, all the columns associated with the drawings are there too. And a lot of the columns I've, the column appears in the newspaper and then I usually edit it a little bit, add information because I was limited in the amount of words I could use in the column.
Right.
Some stuff got left out. So I would add that in when I put the column up on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe edit it again and add some more stuff when I put it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Work in progress. And one of the things I loved about doing the drawings and having them appear in the newspaper, excuse me, I would get calls from people telling me stuff I didn't know about the building or whatever. And I love hearing the rest of the story from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, they may say, you got it wrong. And then, sometimes I get it wrong.
Right.
And so I'll correct it. And in the correction doesn't appear in the newspaper, but it does appear in the blog and in the book. So,
Well, that's worth visiting too, because it really is a good history of Alaska. And they're just such wonderful drawings. I just so appreciate the work. Couldn't do it, but I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And let's see, you went to art school and got started with that.
Yes.
And then it's just practice.
Lots of practice.
Lots of practice.
Lots of mistakes.
Lots of mistakes, yes. Well, and you mentioned that you take photos of the buildings and whatnot, into the detail, and that my brother is an avid photographer, and that's a good hobby as well. If you're driving along with my brother, he will stop for no apparent reason, and he sees something that nobody else sees.
My family was used to that.
Yes, right.
I had to temper myself sometimes. I'd see someplace I want to stop, and I'd go, oh, wait a minute. They probably don't want me to stop. I'll come back later.
Right. Yes, but there's so much out there in the world. Sometimes we just don't take time to notice it.
Yes.
And that's, like you said, that's a good hobby. And now with cell phones and all of that, it's just really interesting what you can find out there.
Well, in relation to photography, field sketching is a great hobby too.
Uh-huh.
Just wherever you go, just take a pencil or even a pen and a notepad and just stop. And it doesn't have to be a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
Field sketching for me is more about learning about nature or whatever it is than about producing a piece of art.
And you have an eye, proportionately correct in all of that. When I was in seventh grade, I think it was, they gave us some classes, and we took a, I think it was almost a 2 foot by, I'll bet it was a foot and a half by 2 foot piece of paper, taped it up onto the chalkboard, and put a dot way off the piece of paper so we could study
lines of your
horizon lines
points,
and projections and all of that.
When I first started doing these architectural drawings, and to get the right proportions, you know, I would do a preliminary sketch, and I had this long 6 foot piece of paper that I taped together to other pages. And I would tape it down on my tile floor when, you know, the tiles were 12 inch by 12 inch. And then I would stick the drawing down in the middle of it and draw a horizon. I had a horizon line on the piece of paper. And I would position the drawing across the horizon line and then work on the actual perspective so everything tapered at the same where it should.
Right.
After a while, I don't need that 6 foot piece of paper anymore. It just sort of comes natural after a period of time.
Yeah, interesting. And and why we should, support art classes in school. I've been out of school for so long, I don't know what they're doing in the public schools, but there are other places where you can go.
Well, the summer Fine Arts Festival.
Summer
art
Fine
classes.
Arts Festival. Yeah. Yes.
Last year, I taught a field sketching class for the Arts Festival.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's another.
I got smoked out this year. So.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that did come about the same time as the forest fires, which we usually have a little earlier in the season.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You do what you can, adjust to it. Yes. So you're having a showing at the North Pole Grange Gallery, which is off the Old Richardson side of North Pole, and that's going to be this evening from 5 to 8.
5 to 8, yes.
And
next Friday from 5 to 8.
And next Friday from 5 to 8. And you're going to stop by?
I will stop by for a little while tonight, but the actual official artist reception is next week. So next Friday, I will be there from 5 until 8.
5 until 8. Good. And it would be just a really good opportunity to pick up some hints and some details about that style of painting, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And it probably is, I would think, easier for people to get into, get started, and produce something that makes sense. If you're into a drawing that makes sense, and there's other forms where it doesn't have to make sense, you can interpret it.
The nice thing about drawing, pen and ink drawing, is I have an extremely small kit. I don't need a huge studio to do my drawing.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, yes. And you can set it aside and pick it up and add details.
All the time.
Yes.
When I'm finishing up a drawing, I'll get to the phase, I call it the dinking phase, where I will just leave the drawing on my drawing table for a while and come back to it and put a few details in here, And actually, with pen and ink drawings, the way I do it, I can actually go back and correct mistakes.
Oh.
I use very thick paper, and if I have to, I can take very fine sandpaper and sand away my mistake and smooth it out again and ink over it.
And then nobody knows. Yes, that's part of the skill, I guess, that you develop.
Yeah.
Yes, that's good. Roughly how much time do you put into the drawings? Is there kind of an average?
When I first started doing them, as you can imagine, it took me forever to do them. After a while, you learn little tricks of the trade and little shortcuts. So from start to finish, if I really work at it, I can put out a drawing in a couple of days. It's not the type of process where I can put a drawing out in an afternoon. But if I'm diligent at it, a couple of days.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you for stopping by. Just an enjoyable conversation. Stop by the North Pole Grange Gallery this evening from 5 to 8, or next Friday from 5 to 8. They have Ray Bunnell's work on display, and you can enjoy some really good Alaska history and pick up some good pointers about artwork. But we do have to say goodbye. Thank you for being with us, and we'll return on Monday. Yes.
Fairbanks. An evacuation near the suspect's home. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. It happened a short time ago in Washington, Utah. Hours